Let's read Hebrews 11:9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This is the heavenly Jerusalem, as this heavenly real city in heaven is called in Hebrews 12. Or Jerusalem above, Galatians 4. So the earthly Jerusalem, called in Abraham's story Salem, was just an earthly copy of the divine city in heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. And Abraham knew about this heavenly Jerusalem, and he was waiting just for this city, when he would die and go home into the heavenly glory. So the one true God gave him a much more beautiful city than Ur, the city of the dead moon god. Genesis 12, verse 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain Terebinth, or Terebinth of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. This is the first geographical spot mentioned by name in the land of Canaan, where Abraham came to. That's amazing. Because, have a look to this spot that has been excavated in the 20th century. This is exactly the biblical Shechem, and exactly the place where Abraham built his altar. But you see, that's just in the midst of the houses of the region of Nablus, which is one of the largest Palestinian cities in the so-called occupied West Bank. And the United Nations say all the Jews should go out of the West Bank, and they should finish all the settlements, also the settlements in Nablus. There are several in the region of, in the district of Nablus. Go out. This does not belong to the Jews. What about the Bible? The United Nations, they are too late. 4,000 years too late, because God, at the time of Abraham, appeared him exactly in Shechem, in Nablus, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And Abraham, in order to thank God for this promise, builded there an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. By the way, the Lord, we do not read that the Lord appeared to him in Haran, where he was disobedient. But when he was obedient, again he could see the glory of the Lord. Now, it is clear the West Bank, including Nablus, is promised to the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. And here in Shechem, God made the covenant with Abraham. Now, everything wonderful, isn't it? But let's go to the next verse. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. He's in the correct place, and now he has huge problem. He gets huge problems. Now, a question. Are huge problems in your life a proof that you are on the wrong way? You cannot say yes or no. Just so. It depends. There can be huge problems in our life which are just a test of our faith, of our faithfulness. But it's possible that there are huge problems because of sin and disobedience. So we have to be careful and ask the Lord. So Abraham could ask, Lord, is there a problem in my life? And we know it immediately. Lot was still with him, and this was his disobedience. Therefore, God sent a famine. But instead of resolving the problem, you see, in chapter 14, he will separate from Lot. And this was a separation that was according to the will of God. There are separations that are sin. And there are separations that are according to the will of God. Also here we have to distinguish. But here, instead of resolving the problem, he just goes away from the problem to a land that was not the land where the Lord was in a particular way saying, come. He goes away. And you see the text says he went down. Of course, this was just a description of topology. But this has also spiritual meaning. It was really a way down. The problem Lot was still not solved. And then they passed through the desert of Sinai. By the way, a very dangerous journey. I knew a Syrian who in the time of the Second World War passed through this way with some colleagues because he wanted to go to Europe. A poor Syrian. And all his colleagues died in the desert. Then he arrived here in Egypt and met the British. They said, you cannot go further. He wanted to continue up to Morocco, where he wanted to go to Spain. You see. They said, you cannot go further. It's World War II. But you see, he went through this way, very dangerous. He just survived. Now Abraham went with Sarah, and on the way, he realized the next problem. His wife was too beautiful. He was 75 at the time, she was 65. But you see, that's possible. And the rabbis are praising the beauty, the extraordinary beauty of Sarai. And also Peter speaks about the exterior appearance of Sarai in 1 Peter 3, explaining that these God-fearing women like Sarai, they had a special adornment, not just gold and silver, but they had, by her relationship with the Lord, they had something that was special. And in the case of Sarai, it was really special. Let's read. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. He liked to look upon Sarai. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. He was really convinced of his wife, wasn't he? They will kill me, but they will say, thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. It was a little bit true. Because later in Genesis we learn that Sarai was really the half-sister of Abraham. And at that early time this was still possible. Only later, 500 years later, at the time of the Exodus, these kinds of relationships were forbidden for marriage. But you see, telling his wife, say, thou art my sister, was lying, saying the truth. Because she should say in this way in order that people think, oh, then not his wife. So we can lie by the truth. Of course, we do not have to tell everything to anybody. That's not necessary. But when we say things just in a way, in order to bring people astray, then it's a problem.